We see from our scripture reading, part of what was written in the Old Testament scriptures, as CL's been studying about what scriptures are, but they were made for our learning. And so we'll start tonight's lesson by turning there, and let's see some things, what they did. And then we'll turn to the New Testament, make some application. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. In verse 5. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 50. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Exodus chapter 39. Again, keep in mind, what did they do? Exodus 39, verse 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and the people of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. Verse 42, same chapter. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel had done all the work. Verse 43. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, so had they done it. Then Moses blessed them. Exodus chapter 40, verse 16. This Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Leviticus chapter 8. Verse 36. And Aaron and his sons did all the things the Lord commanded by Moses. Numbers chapter 1. Verse 54. Thus did the people of Israel, they did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Numbers chapter 8. Verse 20. Thus did Moses and Aaron, all of the congregation of the people of Israel, to the Levites, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, the people of Israel did to them. Numbers chapter 9, verse 5. And they kept the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the people of Israel did. And lastly, Joshua chapter 11. And verse 15. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And so we see a running theme here. They did all. They didn't leave anything out. If so, it would have told us. It would have said they did some or they did part of. But over and over, for our learning, we see that they did all. The question begs, what if they didn't do all that the Lord commanded? And we see some examples of that. We're not going to go through those in the Old Testament when they didn't do all. But we know the outcome of that. They didn't do all. So with that, let's turn over to the New Testament, the book of Acts. We'll look at the conversions of Acts. Not all of them, but a few of them. And we see an example that God's pleased when we do all that's commanded, or all that we're told. Let's begin in Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read some scripture here and make short observations about all of them. They all relate to each other. Verse 22, beginning. This is on Pentecost. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this is Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for He is my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Verse 29. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, verse 32, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this to you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. So we're seeing here Peter's preaching this gospel sermon to them, trying to get them to see that this Jesus is the one who was prophesied about. He goes to great lengths to do that. And we see in the next verse that they believed those things. Verse 37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So we know from this, they obviously believed what they heard. They believed this Jesus is the Christ. And they're seeing that, hey, we took a part in him being killed. He was promised. He was sent here. What are we going to do now? He's gone. So what shall we do? They believe. And Peter said to them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now again, from the Old Testament, we're to do all that we're told. They believed, and we know many people who stop there. Belief is all you need. What if after being told this repentance part, in this baptism portion, you know what, Peter, I'm good. I believe, I'm good. Because when people deny it today, baptism, that's what they're saying to God. I believe, I'm going to repent, I'll confess, but I'm good. I'm going to stop right there, I'm good. They're not doing all. What would happen to them if they said that? Peter, we'll repent, but we're good after that. What would have been their fate? Acts chapter 8. This is going to be Samaria and some of the sorcerer. Begin at verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. So based on what he said, but more on the signs he did, they believed what he said based on the proof of the works confirming the word. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was much joy in that city. So he's doing these miracles. They're believing in that, believing the word he says. Verse 9, there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. And they all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. What if these people, especially Simon here, who says he believed and then he was baptized, was willing to believe, and then when they talked about water, I'm good. I'm good. I don't have to do that. What would have been his fate if he didn't do all that was commanded or taught him? Turn over to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So there's some effort being made here. God is making an effort here. So Philip, verse 30, ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So he's teaching him all he needs to know about this Jesus, who he was and what he needed to do. Verse 36. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, one thing here, we don't see Philip saying, you know, here's water. And Philip saying, who's saying anything about water? You don't need to do that. You're good. You're good. We also don't see him passing water and Philip saying, hey, here's some water, and him saying that. He had to do all. So if he hadn't done all and hadn't been baptized, what would his fate be? Did he do all? Acts chapter 16. Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Question again. What if he had come to their house, heard all this word, repented by washing their stripes, and when it came time to be baptized, stood back and said, we're good. We're good right here. What would the response have been to them? I don't need to do that. Again, did he have to do all that he was told? Or could he stop short? Acts 22. Verse 1, Paul recounting his story of conversion. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up at this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. For them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. Again, he's just telling his history of conversion here. Verse 6, as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Verse 9. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very hour I received my sight and I saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone that you have seen and heard. Verse 16. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. What if Paul, after hearing all this and going through all this and getting to speak with Jesus one-on-one, stepped back and said, I'm good. I don't need to do that. I'm fine. I believe, but I don't need to do that. I'm good. Paul was willing to do everything. The last scripture, we'll turn back to Acts chapter 10. This is the house of Cornelius. And I'm going to read this entire chapter here. Look at all the work that God goes through to do all this. To see that this household, these people are preached to. Verse 1. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So here we see God's going, again, through great lengths to see if this man's prayers are answered. Verse 9, the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on a housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Again, God making great provisions to see that this man's prayers are answered. What's he to do? Verse 17. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had just seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? So Peter still doesn't realize. He's seen this vision, but he doesn't know why they're there just yet. Verse 22, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. And so he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he arose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So this is, a big ordeal. He's invited all his close relatives and friends to come hear what is to be said here. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone or another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why you sent for me? So Peter still doesn't know exactly why he's there. But he does know it's okay to be there because of his vision. Verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. And so I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So we now know why he's there. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he had done, both in the country and in the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So he's going through this and preaching and telling them who this Jesus is, going by the prophets, and saying, you also know, well, you've heard all throughout Judea how he was treated and killed. Again, this is a big ordeal that God has orchestrated and went through to see this man's prayers are answered. This big host of people are gathered together to hear this. Verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, and the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And then verse 48. And this is also for those people we know who say that baptism is not a command. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to remain for some days. He commanded them. What if they step back after hearing all this? Yes, we believe, Peter. Yes, we'll repent. We'll confess sin. But we're good. We don't have to do that. It was commandment, according to this verse. Not just something that's done for other reasons. So that's our lesson for tonight. Lessons from the Old Testament. Do all that we're commanded. Talk to others. Teach them that we have to do all things. Not just some of the things that are commanded. If there's anyone present here who needs to make things right in their life, never obeyed the gospel, or done so and go back into the world, your opportunity now as we stand and sing. We walk with